right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Howdy, sir.
Hey, how are you? What's going on? How are you?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm ready to roll. Ready to move through. I'm ready to create magic here. I have it busting out of my fingertips today. I'm just so ready to go, man. It is on. It's on.
Are you on some sort of drugs?
Am I on a drug? Am I on a drug? No, I'm not on a drug. I am on a drug though. I'm on the drug called Charlie Sheen.
Oh God.
And I got a little sample of that. I got to tell you, I know where he's coming from now. I understand it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, we're producing with this show the same kind of spectacular entertainment, the magic, the mystery, man. It's all happening, man. It's all happening right now. We're in it right now. We're in the middle of it right now.
Parting with porn stars? And
yeah, living the life, sir. I'm living the life.
Wow. So how does your Charlie Sheen obsession fact into our world here?
Hey, look, there's no obsession, man. There's no obsession.
Oh, it's not
this
an obsession.
This is just the life. This is just the way that we're living, the way that we're communicating our things out into the universe, man. And maybe your mind can't handle that. Maybe your mind isn't built the way my mind is, and that you cannot handle the kind of energy that I am sending out through this program to all of the listeners of this program.
Well, Big Kev Sheen, how about in your drug-induced stupor?
I'm not on any drugs, man.
Oh, I thought you said you were on Charlie
Sheen.
Well,
I mean,
that's a drug.
That is a drug that you couldn't possibly handle, sir. If you even tried to handle it, sir, your bones would melt and your unborn son would weep over your exploded head.
Do you want to name the episode?
What?
Mr. Sheen? What? You should name tonight's episode.
You know why I should name tonight's episode?
Why?
Because I am the one who is focusing the energy, sir. And I can do that because I got Lockjaw's blood. I got Banner's DNA, man. I got it. I'm like a golden god, you know? And that's why we're calling the episode Lockjaw's Blood, Banner's DNA.
Wow, it's going to be a long episode.
Why, man? It's not going to be any longer than it takes for us to communicate to our listeners the vibe, the energy, the what's happening, the now, man, in the geek world.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
I would like to talk about Michael Bay and Zombies versus Robots.
Let me tell you something, a little bit about Zombies versus Robots. It's a great concept, great idea. It's out there, man. It's like it's totally another level of thinking, man. Ashley Wood, he's got some crazy stuff happening, but I get it. I understand robots versus zombies. I get it. I understand it. And that's why I can see it, man. I can see it happening.
Can you see Michael Bay doing it though? You know, no. Blowing it up and dumbing it down.
No, I can't see that. No matter how much Charlie Sheen I take, I don't see that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Thanks. Whew. All right. How about we move past that?
Then? Well, wait. Was there more information, man?
No. Michael Bay is set to produce Zombies vs. Robot for Platinum Dunes Entertainment, which I believe is his little house of entertainment. And that's it really right now. I think that they have a... they've got a screenwriter to work on it, but everybody is pretty much upset from what I'm understanding.
Good luck.
Yeah. I think too many people know the story, know Ashley Wood's work as the artist, know the book, and are concerned. Know Chris Ryle, I believe he's the writer. They know his work, and they just fear that Michael Bay is going to turn it into
shite,
blowy uppy stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of blowy uppy stuff.
And I'm coming down a little bit.
I noticed. It's good. It's good to have you back.
It's kind of a really high,
right?
And then like
a really low.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried because I'm in the middle right now. So bringing up the wrong news story right now could send me into tears.
All right, so I'll stay with.
I'm just saying.
I'll stay away from things I might. Think you might cry about.
Okay.
How about we talk about Anne Hathaway? You shouldn't cry over that, right?
No, I have an opposite effect.
Hot. So the big thing this week.
I know that you have commented on Facebook about this.
I have, and I'm not alone in my opinion on this, by the way.
It certainly lends more, well, we should say what it is, of course, during her appearance on Oprah.
Right.
This week after the Oscars, Anne Hathaway appeared on Oprah and she was talking about how she heard she got the gig on the Oscars.
Correct.
And her manager called and said, "Are you sitting down?" And she had been waiting to hear whether she had been cast as Selena Kyle. And so the manager said, "Are you sitting down? You're never going to hear this again. This may be the only time you ever hear this in your life." And she goes, "I'm Catwoman." And the manager goes, "You got the Oscars," you know, right. Like, so she used the word Catwoman and right. On more than one occasion in that conversation. Mm-hmm. So what it means to me and what I put out there into the universe is that if she's saying she's playing Catwoman, Catwoman ergo must be in this film.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just say I'm playing Catwoman and have it be just Selena Kyle, because I think she would have made that distinction. I think she would have made the distinction of I'm playing Selena Kyle, you know, and I think she would have put a divider in there. And I think that if Christopher Nolan hadn't intended in some way, shape or form her to be Catwoman, then he would have put a lock on her about saying Catwoman. He would have just said, "You can only say you're playing Selena Kyle."
I'm only saying that I don't believe it until I hear it from Christopher Nolan. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's not a good possibility.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that her kind of saying it as a passing comment in the middle of another story,
uh-huh,
to me isn't 100% proof. And again, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. It's very likely she's going to play Catwoman.
Right.
I'm just saying that I'm waiting for confirmation from Nolan, because really only he's the only one that actually knows what his vision is
right
in this movie and to what capacity these people will be these roles. That's all I'm saying.
I hope it's the Jim Lee costume.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
for Catwoman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's a nice costume.
No, it's a great costume.
It's
I mean, modern and
I don't
appropriate.
Know how else you would do it. I mean, There are plenty of ways you can do it, but like the Jim Ballant purple leotard
with the skirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like no, Ballant didn't do the skirt.
No,
the skirt
I know, but it was like the waist up.
Yeah.
You know, and then Balint took off the skirt on the bottom and just gave her legs.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of different ways you can go with that character.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Clearly. Yeah. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't a bad interpretation. I wouldn't go the Halle Berry route.
Well, no. Nobody considers that.
But
no,
and,
I think.
And I wouldn't
I think...
go like 70s Batman, the TV show route either.
Oh.
Was that 60s?
That would be the 60s, sir.
But yeah,
can
I mean,
you
Jim,
name,
Jim Lee.
Can
would...
you name all three women who play Catwoman on the Batman TV show? I'll give you 60 seconds.
No.
Can you name any of them?
No.
Where?
Yeah, no, I can. Julie Newmar.
That's one.
Was Eartha Kitt one of them?
That's two.
I don't know the third
one. It is Lee Merriweather.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe she only played Catwoman in one episode and the terrible movie.
And the movie?
Yeah,
okay.
With the shark repellent.
Right, yes.
It might
have
actually just been the movie. I'm not actually sure about that.
Yeah, no, the other two I knew, but
right.
But Merriweather I did not know.
Well, you were kind of like, I don't know, out of the gate.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I knew saying. Julie Newmar and Eartha Kitt.
Just saying.
So anyway, moving past that story, and since it kind of brought up the Oscars, I'm going to kind of bring up something that will lead us into our other story. So Corey Haim,
sad, is
Haim snubbed
again
in the memorial
and
Rue
McClanahan.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Don't know.
Now Rue McClanahan didn't just do television; she did film.
As far as I know.
So she should have qualified. And that's a pretty big oversight.
Yeah. And Corey Haim, while just kind of a waste of a human being, still should have had his four seconds of time in the death memorial.
This is all I'm saying about Corey Haim. If you're going to put in a bunch of cameramen and grips, guys who, I'm not going to say didn't do anything for the industry, but guys who didn't necessarily contribute in any significant way, other than that they were involved in that profession.
Right.
Meaning, you name cameramen who didn't invent new shooting styles, new cameras. They were a cameraman. They worked on a number of pictures. Corey Haim, love him or like him, whatever you feel about
him. Or hate
him. He was, or hate him rather. He was in a handful of movies in the 80s. I mean, he was kind of an important icon in film in that period of time.
Lost Boys.
You can't really discredit him. Well,
Lucas.
Lost Boys goes right into the news. Lost Boys 4.
Oh,
currently
good.
In the works. And a possible TV series, although I don't know what the series is going to be, but
Frog
Feldman
Brothers?
Is somehow involved.
Of course.
Of course. Well, he's involved in the film as well. So
does he own the franchise?
He must, or he must have some significant stake in the franchise.
And it's number 4 now.
Is number 4, yeah, because the Thirst, wasn't it called The Thirst?
Is that the third one?
Like yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Came out direct to DVD last year. So, actually, it was only a couple months ago. It wasn't like October that it came out.
Yeah, that would
or
still
September
be last.
Or
that would still
like.
Be last year.
So. I know, but it wasn't like last February. It was, you know, October's only a handful of months
but
ago.
But that was October 2010. We're February 2011.
I understand.
Or March 2011.
I understand.
So, technically, sir.
It was last year.
If it was January 1st and it came out on December 31st, it would be last year.
All right. I'm just putting it out there.
Just saying.
Quentin Tarantino. Doing the genre that I've been waiting for him to do for quite some time. Moving forward with a Western.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's a great genre. I completely understand where he could go with that. And, of course, the exciting bit of news is that Christoph Waltz is going to be part of it.
Uh-huh.
I like Christoph Waltz.
Sure. Good fella.
I mean, you know, Green Hornet was Green Hornet, but I mean, Inglourious Basterds. I'm looking forward to his role in. I'm looking forward to him in Musketeers.
Uh huh.
I think, and I'm looking forward to him working with Tarantino again. I mean,
they did some good stuff last time around.
Absolutely. How about The Powers? Do you read The Powers? You read The Powers, right? Brian Michael Bendis.
You mean Powers?
Yes, Powers.
Yes, I've read
Bendis and Oeming.
Much of it, yes.
FX greenlit a pilot for the show.
Makes perfect sense.
Powers is if done right, the show that should be, like the superhero genre show that should be.
Okay.
Meaning it's got that mature, gritty, not goofy.
Right.
By any means necessary.
And now have we learned officially yet that the Cape has been canceled, as well as No Ordinary Family?
I think that both of them are definitely on the chopping block.
Right.
I don't think that the official word has come, okay. But no one expects them to be renewed.
Right.
But I don't even know. I don't even think the cast expects it to be renewed right. At this point. And I'm still enjoying the Cape. No Ordinary Family I never really got into, but I'm still enjoying the Cape. But either way, clearly if both of those shows go, there will be a void for this type of show on TV. FX is a good venue, I think.
Yeah, they do gritty stuff.
And Powers is a good book. I mean, it's yep. A good read. It's clearly a good home for this kind of
yes.
For this kind of event. So
well, let's hope they don't screw it up.
Well, we would hope. We would hope that they don't screw it up. How about Tim Burton news?
Oh, God.
This is something I just don't... I like Tim Burton, traditionally speaking.
I used to like Tim Burton.
The only thing he's done that I haven't liked was Planet of the Apes. To be honest with you, I've liked everything else he's done.
Yeah, I didn't really like Planet of the Apes.
I liked...
Or...
I even liked Wonka.
Alice in Wonderland.
I liked Alice in Wonderland.
Or Willy Wonka.
I liked Willy Wonka. I liked Sweeney Todd. I liked Big Fish.
Sweeney Todd and Big Fish are kind of in that I could tolerate it category.
I liked Sleepy Hollow.
I wanted to love Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow is one of my favorite folk stories of all time.
Right.
You just can't take Sleepy Hollow. I mean, if he had called it anything else, it would have been fine. But to call it Sleepy Hollow and then to just like totally render asunder the story of Sleepy Hollow... I like watching it. I like it. It's a great story. If you're thinking kind of alternate universe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's what I like about it. But, I mean, the problem I have, of course, is that it could have been amazing. It could have been an amazing version of the Sleepy Hollow story instead of... So I'm stuck with the Disney version as the best done version of the story.
The animated one.
Yeah, the animated
one. The Adventures of Ichabod.
No, you're thinking Mr. Toad, aren't you?
Well, it was released together.
It was Mr. Toad. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad,
yeah. but Ichabod was just Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the one.
Yeah, but that's the version you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the version.
Yeah, okay.
About,
yeah. Anyway, Burton, who we've heard is working on another Disney project, Maleficent, at some point, also apparently is going to be working with Josh Brolin in The Hunchback. But this is not Disney's The Hunchback. This is like Warner Brothers kind of twisted based on Victor Hugo's original story, The Hunchback. Uh-huh. So I'm kind of, I don't hate it. I'm kind of just,
you know what? I have to ask, what role will Johnny Depp play? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Not Quasimodo.
When was the last time? I mean, don't you
think? You know what? All right, so not Quasimodo, because that's Brolin. But I could see... Who was the villain in Hunchback? I don't remember the character's name.
It was that priest guy, wasn't it? Version of the story.
Yeah, I mean, I could...
Priest guy, pretty boy.
Yeah, yeah. I could kind of see Depp in that role.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. Depp's kind of got a full plate.
Yeah, he does.
In front of him right now, he's got Lone Ranger.
Uh-huh.
He's got what we're understanding is more pirate films.
Yes.
So, you know.
Pirates for merchandise?
Yeah.
Hitting the stores now.
So. Yeah, by not Spin Master. Who's doing those?
I have no idea. I didn't look. I saw it was Jazzwares.
Yeah, it's somebody not NECA
yeah.
That's doing it.
And we were like, I was looking with a friend today, and I was like flabbergasted that we're how many months away from the movie? I mean, it's too far, and it's like role play stuff.
It's May, isn't it?
I think it is. It wasn't figures, though. It was like a foam sword.
You know what?
Which apparently foam killing weapons are really making a comeback.
I would say that it would be too soon for figures, but I don't necessarily see it as too soon for role play.
I
think kind of role play, because of the age demo that it goes for,
right.
is really kind of appropriate almost anytime. As long as the license is still viable, it'll sell. There's just that demo.
Meh.
And last but not least, unless you have something to contribute to the news segment.
No, man, I was a little too Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen'd out.
Get myself together before the show.
Coming up in April, something I hope that that maybe we could check out, or maybe me for a couple hours, Toy Street in New York. It's a one-day designer toy show.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of information online right now. We just really know the date and the time. It's April 22nd, which is a Friday, from noon to 8 p.m., And it's going to be in Manhattan. So it's thetoystreet.com for more information. I'll put that link up there. Some friends of the show we know are going to be exhibiting there.
Oh, yeah?
Eric from Argonaut Resins is going to be exhibiting there.
Oh, him.
Has some new stuff I hear going on. Steve Tikowski is going to be debuting the third of his sketchbots at that show. And there's some other stuff coming down the pipe, so we'll kind of continue to follow that a little bit, and we'll update as we get more information. But yeah, April 22nd, that's coming down the pipe.
I want to go to that, but I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I hope to go. I certainly can't go for the full 8 hours, but I hope to maybe pop in and pop out, even if it's only for 2 or 3 hours, just to kind of check it out. I didn't get to go last year. I missed it last year, so I'd love to go this year.
Isn't that Easter weekend?
It is. It's Good Friday, actually.
We're actually, I don't think you'll be able to go to that, sir.
Yeah?
Because we're moving into the new studio space.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll see.
We're going to be screwed.
We shall see. And I think with that, we could probably take our first break.
Okay, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 221, Lockjaw's Blood, Banner's DNA.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
They're Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
Sends a
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 221, Lockjaw's Blood, Banner's DNA.
Yep.
Don't forget, if you'd like to comment on anything we talked about in the first segment, or maybe you have a question, maybe you just want to say you like us, or tell us you hate us. We've gotten those before. You can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line, 425-920-6050. Of course, you can check us out over at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. We'll have the photo gallery for this week's show. I want to throw a little apology out there.
What'd you do?
For the delay in getting the photo gallery up at the same time as episode 220 went online. There was a problem with Flickr.
Oh.
And we have since resolved those issues.
Oh.
And so that gallery should be up. Sweet. And this gallery should be up in a timely fashion.
Should be.
As well.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
Not a whole lot this week. A couple of DVDs that you're probably going to want to check out. Let's start off big. Let's go with Burlesque.
Really? we're going right to Burlesque?
No, we're not going anywhere near Burlesque. How about we go with Bambi, the 2-disc Diamond Edition, out on Blu-ray and DVD this week?
Yes. Of course, anything Disney at this point, if you're getting Disney, you're probably going to get most Disney. And I don't know, I think always that I want to have the best version of a Disney movie available for my possible children in the future.
See, I'm being very selective with these, with the Blu-rays.
Switching over to Blu-rays?
With the Disney ones, I am.
Okay.
The special features have to either be significantly different, or there has to be something
like
really,
not
really good.
Right.
You know, like little things here and there better. I'm not making that jump just yet. There has to be something significantly different about it for me.
What I've noticed,
new releases, new movies coming out. For example, Tangled comes out in 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
That'll get on Blu-ray.
What I've noticed is that by and large, usually with the Disney DVDs, when they go up to Blu-ray, they've pretty much are porting the previous version up and then adding a couple of things on.
Yeah, and I for the last one or two that have come out, I have not picked up on Blu-ray. The things that they've added on were like storybook mode.
So you didn't get stuff like that, Alice in Wonderland?
The animated one? No,
yeah.
I did not.
Oh.
I didn't. I didn't get Sleeping Beauty.
Oh. Did I get Sleeping Beauty?
But, you know, but I have those. I have all of those, all the special editions of those on regular DVD.
Right.
So I'm kind of okay with those for right now.
Gotcha.
Also out, of course, this week, 127 Hours.
Oh, yeah?
Oscar nominated, but did not win 127 Hours.
Well, and apparently he was, depending on who you ask, he was exhausted and passing out at the Oscars during his hosting duties. There was even a report that said that he and Anne Hathaway were screaming at each other.
Yeah, not friends with each other, I hear.
Yeah.
And then, of course, since you mentioned Anne Hathaway, the other co-host of the Oscars, Love and Drugs out on DVD this
year. Yeah, if you want to see
Jake Gyllenhaal.
You want to see yourself some naked Anne Hathaway, you'd pick up that movie.
And you haven't seen it in Havoc already? Was it in Havoc?
Havoc and Brokeback Mountain.
Right, right.
But the point is that, she's not really a teenager anymore. So
right.
Things are kind of in place.
Also out on DVD
this
week.
I'm just saying that you might want to check that out.
So. All right. Also out this week, if you're a fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Faster out on DVD this week. Of course, that was the picture he was in with Billy Bob Thornton. And how about Reboot? Seasons 1 and 2.
What? Why?
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, it was awful.
It was awful, but some people like it, and they put it out on DVD.
What was the one you said before that? I looked away.
Faster. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah, I'm not running out to pick that one up, but some people might.
I saw a poster today for a movie starring Triple H.
Oh, no.
Called
Hercules.
No, no.
Conan?
It was a comedy. It was like something The Rock must have turned down.
Yes, I heard him do an interview.
He's like where the chaperone
or
something like
ridiculous.
That. And it's like a family thing. And I was just like, I was absolutely disgusted when I saw it.
Is it all wrestling stars have to do this type of movie?
I have
Hogan
no
did one. The Rock did one.
But Cena did not do one.
Cena did not. But
Cena's movies are action-oriented.
That's right.
This is clearly a comedy.
Yuck. That's it, really.
Well, no, actually, it isn't it. We rarely get this opportunity, I mean, to talk about something that isn't coming out yet. And that is Sid and Marty Krofft's H&R Puffin Stuff's 40th Anniversary Collector's Edition. Coming out April 12th from Vivendi Entertainment. Now, this is really great. They actually sent us what I think this is the collector's edition, I think.
Okay.
And what this contains is, you can see it, OG, it contains a Puffin Stuff bobblehead.
Nice.
Right in the front there. And then this contains all 17 episodes on 3 discs and a rare episode of Horror Hotel on DVD for the first time ever.
Nice.
So Horror Hotel is actually one of the other Sid and Marty Krofft shows from the Krofft Superstar Hour, actually. And and it's being released as part of this set on DVD for the first time. Why does it seem to me like there were more than 17 episodes of this show? Maybe because when this show came out, I was born.
Yeah, maybe.
And when they were playing it in reruns when I was a little kid, it seemed like it went on forever.
I was going to say, I think it really is just that they kept on rerunning episode after episode. And so, you know, when you're that young, you don't quite realize that.
17 episodes originally broadcast between 1969 and 1971.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's
and this
17
is,
episodes over 2 years?
Well, it's probably one season just went from the fall into the spring, right?
69 to 71. It spans 2 years, though.
69 and 71.
So is there no in 70?
69. Oh.
Did you know what I mean? It's not like it's not like 70 to 71.
No,
it's
you're right.
69 to 71. That's
I don't know how
at the very least it's a year and a half, you know, or a year and change, you would think.
Don't know how that works. Yes, this is the collector's edition. Comes with H&R Puffin Stuff bobblehead, just so we're clear about that. The collector's edition suggested retail price is $34.97, which is an odd number. And the standard edition of the 17 episodes, $24.99. So either way you go here, you're a winner, I think, because you get all these great Sid and Marty Krofft. Look, if you've never seen this Sid and Marty Krofft stuff, you should definitely check it out, man. It's trippy. I mean, it's definitely...
Trippy's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's definitely... And this one actually stars Jack Wilde, who you may remember from such films as, and I say films when I actually mean film,
right.
Oliver. A few years before he did this, he played the Artful Dodger in Oliver the Musical.
Oh, God.
Yes. So there's that. Yeah, man, crazy. This is, I love any of this Sid and Marty Krofft stuff that comes out. I'm really excited. I'm going to be looking at this week, OG, and then I'm going to be able to talk about it a little bit more next week. I'm going to let you know about that horror hotel business, too. I'm really excited about that.
Sounds like a plan to me.
I don't know that I've ever seen it, and if I did, I don't remember it. But I'm hoping seeing the episode on here will trigger...
Jog your memory.
Some memories. Do you remember other Krofft shows?
You know, if you name the show...
The Bugaloos.
I remember the Bugaloos.
Land of the Lost, you certainly remember.
I remember Land of the Lost.
Do you remember Far Out Space Nuts?
No.
You know, that was like... I think Far Out Space Nuts was like the Gilligan's Island of like Sid and Marty Krofft shows.
Okay.
And it actually, I believe it starred Bob Denver in the Gilligan type of role again, but they were in space.
That's a bit much.
I think I'm right about that. Lost Saucer?
I don't remember that.
Lost Saucer was Ruth Buzzy.
Okay.
And golly, Gomer Pyle.
Oh, Jesus.
Jim Nabors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it was Jim Nabors and Ruth Buzzy playing some sort of android people on a Lost Saucer or something. Wow, I'm trying to remember if that's actually what it was. Then they had the Krofft Super Show Hour, which is where I think they played stuff like the hotel one that's in here.
Right.
The Bay City Rollers was a huge one.
Okay.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Dude, I don't remember any of this stuff.
Sigmund
at
and
all.
The Sea Monsters?
That I remember. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, I remember.
So there you go. So you have a basic knowledge of it. This is late 60s, early 70s, live action sort of shows for kids. They don't really do live action shows for kids anymore. Unless you count Skins.
Right. Yeah.
Which I do. Have you watched that show?
No.
That shit is crazy.
Yeah, I've heard it's like highly inappropriate.
I don't think it's inappropriate, but I think it's I think it's crazy. You know what's really inappropriate? The fact that they're in high school and doing this, because real kids are like in middle school doing this.
Right, yeah, that,
doing
so they're
that
off
shit.
By a couple years?
They're off a little bit, yeah. But anyway.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics. There are a couple that we're recommending you check out this week, and one is actually from Marvel. Stop the Presses. This is the Oz Primer. Inside Marvel's Eisner Award-winning adaptations of L. Frank Baum's classic novels with series creators Eric Schanauer and Scotty Young. And I have to tell you, we've been talking about these Oz books.
Pretty much since they started.
Since they started. The art is fantastic. The translation is fantastic. And in here, you get all of the characters.
Right.
Kind of talked about, you know, where they go, where they're from, and so on and so forth. Sketches. You get interviews with the creators of the book, letting you know the insight. There's a huge article in here about drawing the world of Oz with Scotty Young. I'm telling you, man, this Scotty Young stuff is banging good. Also, there's just a whole bunch of stuff in here that's really, really terrific.
Huh. Nice.
That's really bizarre.
What's that?
Well, my version has two Inside has two exactly the same articles by Scotty Young in it.
Oops. I wonder if you're missing one.
No, because then there's Colorist. And then they have the characters. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Do I have a screwed up? Are they all screwed up or just this one?
I don't know.
Is on page one. It's drawing the Wonderful World of Oz. And then a bunch of pages later, it's the same article.
I have no idea, sir.
Uh-oh.
Clearly, I don't have it. So.
Uh-oh.
I don't have it here in front of me.
I'm kind of ticked off. Now I got to know. Did I get a screwed up one?
So if you happen to pick up Oz Primer this week.
Yeah, let us know.
Leave us a voicemail. Drop us an email. Let us know if yours too is screwed up or if Big Kev Sheen is just
It says with
fucked.
With Eric Schanauer and Scotty Young. I didn't see any Eric Schanauer stuff in there really at all.
Maybe,
maybe
that's what's missing.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm really upset if that's the case. Hold on. I'm checking the. Did he do the character bits? No, that's like, no. Huh. That's
I don't know
really
what to
strange.
Tell you, sir.
Well, a not screwed up book from DC this week that you want to check out is Batman Beyond number 3. Now, I know what you're saying. Batman Beyond, a little goofy. But you know what? I have to tell you, I am really enjoying the ongoing series. I like the miniseries, which also came out in trade this week.
Right.
But I do like what they're doing here with the ongoing series. So you should definitely check that out. Only issue 3. You can still jump on. You can buy the trade.
Sure.
Of the original 6 issues miniseries. That's kind of a primer, if you will. And then you can get the 3 issues and you're right involved, sir. And then one more book to talk about tonight. This is from our friends over at Archaea. We mention Archaea fairly frequently. This is a hardcover book, kind of small in size, almost journal size, so very small. And it is called An Elegy for Amelia Johnson, a graphic novel by Andrew Rosten and Dave Valeza and Kate Casanow. And yeah, it says, Amelia Johnson is dying of cancer. In the twilight of her final days, Amelia asks her two closest friends, Henry Barons and Jillian Webb, to deliver her last words to 6 friends and family members who have meant something to her. And as they journey across America, the questions arise. With Amelia counting on them, can the highly opposite Henry and Jillian count on each other? And does Amelia have an ulterior motive in selecting them to do this? So, again, Archaea is now producing yet another book. It's a black and white book, by the way.
Right.
Really terrific looking stuff. The art is nice. And from what I hear, the story is pretty exceptional. But again, this is a non-superhero graphic novel. No capes, no superpowers, nothing like that. This is just a really terrific story. Published by Archaea, has nothing to do with superhero comics. So this is something you can give your girlfriend or some person in your life who thinks comics are all Superman, Batman, and Wolverine.
I've heard nothing but good things about this. I'm really excited to sit down and read
this. Really excited to sit down and read this too. So it's and it's not bad. Gonna run you $14.95, but it is a nice thickish book. Even though it's kind of small, hardcover, terrific gift, seemingly a really terrific story. I'm very excited to read this. OG, actually, you're going to read this weekend, give us a review next week. Is that correct?
I will do that for you next week.
So there it is. You can look forward to that next week as well as we, try to trail one thing into another. Have you had a lot of, time to read non-superhero stuff, OG? Because I know that you don't read a lot of non-superhero stuff.
Nah, my reading schedule is a bit wonky right now. I read very, very
OG, I hate to cut you off there, but don't worry. After long last, it seems like that is the D&D intro music, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sure.
Which means it's time for our D&D update. Used to be update of the week, but now it's kind of just D&D update. And we want to talk about one of the latest products from Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. You can check out this and other fine products at D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. You can also check out Dungeons & Dragons, spelled out the long way, .com. I don't know if they want us to push that whole D&D Insider thing anymore. I forget. But anyway, this week we're talking about the Deluxe Dungeon Master Screen role-playing game accessory. So what is this? So when you're playing Dungeons & Dragons and you're the DM, you put a separation, if you will, between you and the other players. Over the years, this screen, if you will, has had numerous bits of information on it. And this one is no different, sir. This durable 4-panel deluxe Dungeon Master screen presents a lavish illustration on the outside and handy reference tables and lists on the inside. The landscape design allows Dungeon Masters to see and reach over the screen without difficulty, and DMs can keep their notes and die rolls hidden from the players while having all important rules information at the ready. A classic piece of role-playing equipment,
it's
sir.
Like, I'm going to go so far as to say it's a must-have.
I would say, yeah. I mean, if you're going to run a fourth edition campaign, the charts and things that they include here are ones that you want to not be having to go searching for in books.
Even if you consider yourself a DM wizard, a warlock, if you will, a la Sheen.
You're just taking it too far now, sir.
The information that they put at your fingertips is just great. I mean, it's essential. I'm saying it. It's essential. It is a must have.
I'm opening it up here. That's nice.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's actually much larger. Longer than the old. No, well, than the old one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What
I
mean.
The old one, I think, was more like this, wasn't it? It was like.
No, I think
taller.
The old one might have only been like 2 panels or 3 panels.
But this height,
it might have been
a
little
taller.
It might have been taller. Yeah,
this is like 8.5 by 11 paper on its side. I think the old one was like 8.5 by 11 paper, but standing up.
This is landscape as opposed to portrait.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could be interpreted that way. Difficulty class by level, DCs for commonly used skills, conditions, and what the advantages and disadvantages are. Damage by level, light sources, knowledge skills by origin. I mean, there's a gazillion things on here, man.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so much information. It's absolutely fantastic. Plus, it does, as they said in the description, it does provide you with that all-important separation between you and the players so that you can cheat and lie about your roles and defeat the players.
This is not cheat to win.
Cheat to win.
This is not cheat to win. Eddie.
It's not winning, really. When you're the DM, you just win. I mean, you don't have to like
win.
Try to win.
Yeah, unless there's a coup.
even if there's a coup.
Can there be a coup?
You remember the time you cooed
in
a role playing game?
You don't win.
Remember the time
I wasn't the one that cooed.
Remember the coup?
I remember who cooed.
And they
But I was not the cooer.
I don't remember what game that was, but I do remember you being stuck in something and there was no way out and no air and you all died.
Yeah, that was Ulf doing a game of Rifts.
There it is.
So there it is.
So, once again, it's the Deluxe Dungeon Master Screen. This is an absolute necessity, as OG said. I think everybody should pick it up. And, hey, at $9.95, you can't go wrong.
Sure, absolutely.
It's cheap as hell. Check this out over at D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, where you can find out all about Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition products. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
And with that, I think we'll take our final break.
Oh, but I wanted to get to that stuff.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess we can put it off for 1 week.
Yeah, we can. They're patient.
That's exciting. These are exciting products. I'm just saying.
They are exciting products, and it's a contest, and I want to give it its proper time.
Okay, good
and
point.
I don't want to rush through
it. Right. Okay. You got it. Right. So as OG said, we'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with the wrap up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast episode 221, Lockjaw's Blood, Banner's DNA.
Hey Kev, I just got a new bag of Cadbury Mini Eggs, my favorite Easter candy. They're solid milk chocolate eggs with a crisp sugar shell. Check out these ingredients, of which I'm going to read for you right now. Milk chocolate, sugar, milk, cocoa butter, chocolate lactose, soy lecithin,
PGPR, emulsifiers, artificial and natural flavors. Sugar contains 2% less cornstarch. Gum acacia, artificial colors, yellow 5, blue 2, red 40, yellow 6, lake, and blue 2 lake. And ethyl vanillin, artificial flavors. Cadbury Mini Eggs.
Available for a limited time.
Available at a store near you.
Hi, hello. This is Patricia Quinn from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 221, Lockjaw's Blood, Banner's DNA.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Tonight, we talked a little bit about Michael Bay and zombies versus robots. We also talked about...
I don't remember that.
Of course you don't. You were high at the time.
Oh.
Of course, we also talked about Tim Burton's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ugh, that I remember.
The Lost Boys, show, and... Movie number 4.
I wish I'd been high for some of that.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino directs a spaghetti western. Power's going to FX. Of course, we also talked a little bit about Anne Hathaway's